I'm very happy to be here with all of you today, and I so appreciate the invitation to come and speak at Vision. You're my Vision family, and I always feel so welcomed and welcomed here. And thank you so much for that. I appreciate that. And you are in a month's focus in alignment with Science of Mind magazine on deepening your faith. And the talk today is about walking our faith. And there is a particular kind of deepening that comes when we actually take our faith out on the streets of daily life. And we seek to actually bring our faith into full-on engagement with what it is that is going on. And a lot of times the things that are going on are not particularly faith-producing, have you noticed? And they are very nicely faith-challenging. So I'm going to lean into a sense of divine order in action here and just say that if this whole month is about faith, there's something we need to listen to, right? There's something going on for us to contemplate because we have been brought to this subject. And so I would encourage you to look at, if you may have been doing this already this month, but to look at any place in your life where you have a faith issue right now, where somehow you're feeling a struggle between what you believe and the challenges that come to that. And your faith issue could be as huge as a holy jihad happening inside, you know, a holy war where you are like flat out in a major struggle between what you believe or what you want to believe and your doubts and your fears and maybe some experiences from the past that are trying to seduce you or pull you all the way into a place of abandoning that faith. Or it could be as subtle as just realizing that your life has called you to be extremely exacting on a day-by-day, moment-by-moment basis to practice exactly what you believe. It could be that your faith issue is about yourself and your life, keeping faith with your own wholeness in the middle of an illness or a challenge in that way. It could be about your finances. It could be faith about the perfect unfoldment of your path. Have I hit yours yet? Anything else? So it could be about yourself. It could be a faith issue relative to people that you know and love in your life. I will tell you that I am now the parent of two very adult children. And so parenting is an entirely different thing. You know what I mean? Those of you who've walked that path about what to say when and when to withhold my more than brilliant ideas and attempts to control. You know, and then, of course, there can be faith issues about relative to an organization or a business that you're involved with, or, and then there's the world, right? And then there's the faith issues about the entire world. Interesting, the things that are going on. Whatever it might be for you, I'm inviting you to get conscious about where your faith issues are and to feel it and see it for what it is, and there's value in the struggle if there's a little bit of struggle going on. So what is faith anyway? What is faith anyway? Well, I would call it conviction. The faith is conviction, strong belief, absolute trust, things like that. That when we're in faith, we're in a place of conviction and trust of what we believe. And what is it that we're being called to have faith in? Well, Reverend Patty said it perfectly in her opening prayer. That was the most beautiful expression of the faith of our path, what it is that we have faith in. And so I'll say it in my own way, that we are called to have the faith that this is a spiritual universe, that we live in a divine reality, and that there's only one thing that's going on, no matter how multifarious, is that the word? No, how much multiplicity there is. No matter how many things there are, there's really only one thing going on, and it's spirit. And that's the reality that we are living in, God's spirit life. Freely translate and change words if I say a word that doesn't work for you. And that one, that one has given birth to all that exists by becoming it. Whether you lean into the scientific side of the Big Bang theory, Stephen Hawking talking about everything coming from a point of singularity into full expression, or whether you like the Science of Mind statement of God in a supreme act of self-contemplation moved upon itself and the universe was born. It's all the same teaching, that out of the one has come the many. I just invite you to feel that for a moment, because it means behind everything that looks so different, we are totally unified. We're even one with the ISIS fighters doing the things that they are doing. At the deepest level, we are one with them. And that presents a faith crisis in a bit, doesn't it? And so because that is true, we're called to have faith in the knowing that at the center of us is an unalterable wholeness, that there is a dimension to our being that has not been hurt, harmed, or touched by anything that has ever taken place, and it never will be. And so nothing is broken and nothing is missing within us, and that's how our practitioners do healing work, because they see that truth of wholeness, and by their attention, they call it forth into being. And no matter what's going on in our lives, we're called to understand that it's all divine activity, that we're all souls on a pathway of experience, and that we're learning. And you know what that means? It means that nothing, that everything counts and nothing is wasted. Everything counts and nothing is wasted. And you've never been off the path, because there's no place to be besides on the path of your own divine unfoldment. I was chuckling to myself thinking of a friend who's been married like 4 or 5 times. And she said one time, "I can find out on a coffee date what it used to take me a marriage to figure out." Amen to that. And so there's a learning aspect, you know, to our path, and we get better at it. But nothing is wasted. Everything counts. Everything is for our awakening, to the greater truth of who and what we are. And what that means is that our lives are in the keeping of a vast and beautiful mystery. A vast and beautiful mystery. There is something really good that is going on, and our lives are guided and guarded by that good thing going on, and it's really helpful when we align ourselves with that. We're here to have faith with the fact that our thoughts are creative, and that anytime we choose, we may have a new realization of a deeper truth and a greater good and manifest change in our life. So it's not over till it's over, and then it's not over either. Because we are ageless, deathless, and immortal beings traveling a path of awakening through the many mansions of the Mother, Father, God, or however you like to think about that. And so faith and walking our faith is what Emma Curtis Hopkins calls looking up. I'm doing some teaching out of high mysticism, so it's not mental science, and it's not even spiritual science, it's mystical science, and that book has been thrown by me across the room any number of times. Because it's a deep study. I know I studied it in the past, but now I know how much I don't know, and so it's intense. And so right from the get-go, Emma says, look up. And what she's saying is, and Emma Curtis Hopkins, if you're not familiar with her, she's known as the teacher of teachers. And Ernest Holmes, our founder, was her last student, and she was also the teacher of the Fillmores of Unity and Nona Brooks of Divine Science. And so our entire New Thought movement goes back to Emma. And she's powerful for us. And there's such a transmission of truth on her words, and we're going to say some in a little bit, so you get a chance. In fact, come and read up. So Emma is saying, look up. In other words, look beyond the world. Look beyond the appearances. Look out. Reverend Patty talked about the cosmos and the galaxies. Look, that's where I always go when I think about looking up. It's looking out to this infinite cosmic reality in which we are the tiniest little speck, you know, and we think we're so important because I guess we are in the whole universe. It's to look up to this radiant reality that is the truth of being. And the minute we look up, there's a feeling of something that comes to us. Because whatever we look to over the track of our seeing comes what we are visioning toward. And you're called vision here, so you know lots about this. And so we're invited to look up and actually surrender into what we are seeing, to make ourselves receptive. Emma uses the word meek, which is a very old-timey word. And it doesn't mean timid, it means available. That we make ourselves available to this vast reality. And when we do, then we begin to have the authority that comes when we surrender into this vast truth of a spiritual universe. And so here's some Emma words. And this is some of the, I'm going to ask you to repeat after me. She was writing 100 years ago, So the words are very different for us, but these thoughts are very powerful. Five statements, and the beginning of each one will be the same, and we'll repeat it. Okay, and you just feel for the power in these words. So here we go. The idea that whatever we surrender to, it rises as authority in us. So, steadfastly facing thee. There is no evil on my pathway. Steadfastly facing thee.
There is no matter with its laws.
Steadfastly facing thee.
There is no loss.
No lack of substance.
No absence of life.
No deprivation.
Steadfastly facing thee.
There is nothing to fear.
For there is no power to harm.
Steadfastly facing thee.
There is no sin, sickness, or death.
And that's what we call active practice of faith. And it requires that we look above and beyond the world, that we know that the world is just appearances, maya, illusion, all of the things created out of our own thoughts. And as we look up and away, we actually claim a different reality, and we have the opportunity to bring that into our life. And so, regardless of how convincing circumstances or situations seem to be, we are called to trust in this divine reality and to know that Spirit is in activity in, through, and as all things, in, through, and as all things. And that greater truth is available to you anytime you look up, and you can practice doing it physically because our bodies collude in our consciousness, to look up and beyond, and welcome this greater reality that is so very good. And Emma would say, out of that comes our rulership and our power to command. What we give authority to rises as a power within us. So please repeat after me. This is really different for us to do. Here we go.
I command
God's spirit life,
to be the power,
to be the presence,
to be the activity of good,
in my life now.
Let's
do it one more time.
I command
God's spirit life,
to be the power,
to be the presence,
to be
the activity of good,
in my life now.
We have the power to command. We're more polite about it in Science of Mind. I speak my word. You know what that is? That's the power to command. And so Emma would say, bump it up already. So faith asks to be practiced, not just talked about. And, you know, it says that when we come onto the spiritual path, first we enter what's called the learning school. And so we sit at the feet of our teacher, either metaphorically or actually, sit at the feet of our teacher, and we learn, and we receive the principles, and we learn, and we take them in, we start to practice, they become part of us. And then we start talking, which I'm trying to do today, because I've been studying Emma, so now I'm seeking to talk to you about it. We start talking the principles, and that's good. That's a step forward on the path. We enter the talking school. But it doesn't get real, really real, until we enter the walking school, until we start seeking to walk our faith out on a daily basis in the midst of everything that makes us not believe what we believe in. We walk it out in the midst of appearances that seem so compelling. We walk it out in the midst of our fear that seems to steal our faith. We walk it out. And that's how faith deepens in us. That's how it becomes very, very real. And you know what? Faith honors our faith in it. The divine reality honors our faith in it. We talk about the reciprocal nature of the universe in Science of Mind. That as we are to life, so life is to us. It's only what we give out that we can get back. It's only as we engage in faith that faith can be present for us. It doesn't just dawn on us. I wish. It doesn't. And faith is a mental equivalent. In other words, it is a thought that manifests as a thing. That faith is a mental equivalent. It is a thought that manifests as a thing. It is the thought that stands behind what out pictures in our life. And we get to choose what it is that we will have faith in. Fear is the mental equivalent as well. It is a thought, a belief, an emotion that stands behind what out pictures in our life. They're both products of thought. It's a question of which one will we choose? Which one will we choose? Will it be fear today? Will it be faith? Ernest Holmes says that fear and faith are the same energy moving in opposite directions. So that faith is the conviction that you will experience what you want. In other words, that you will experience some kind of good with a capital G. And fear is the conviction that you will not experience, that you will experience what you don't want, some kind of not good with a small g. And it's up to us which way we'll do it. The energy is the same. It all comes from conviction. And so I would ask you, what do you have conviction about? What do you have conviction about? It's our choice. Jack Kornfield was quoting the Middle Eastern poet Hafiz, and he said, "Fear is the cheapest room in the house. I would like to see you in better living conditions." Good choir. Fear is the cheapest room in the house. I would like to see you in better living conditions. So Emma says we rise up with that authority toward which we have been meek. In other words, if we surrender, are receptive to, are open and available to this beautiful reality, presence, power, God that is all, that is good, then we will have the rulership based in that faith, and we will be able to command in alignment with that consciousness. So there's a teaching about faith that I really like. There's a version of it in the what I'm learning to call the Christian Bible, which is about if you have faith the grain of a mustard seed and you say, "Mountain, move," it will be removed. But the teaching that I really like and I want to share with you comes from the Gospel according to Thomas, and it's one of the Gnostic Gospels. And the Gnostic Gospels are beautiful teachings of Jesus that are much more mystical, at least to my ears and heart. So the teaching goes like this. The disciples said to Jesus, "Tell us what the kingdom of heaven is like." And he said to them, "It is like a mustard seed, smaller than all the seeds. But when it falls on the tilled earth, it produces a large tree and becomes shelter for all the birds of heaven." I'll say it again. The disciples said to Jesus, "Tell us what the kingdom of heaven is like." And he said to them, "It is like a mustard seed, smaller than all the seeds. But when it falls on the tilled earth, it produces a large tree and becomes shelter for all the birds of heaven." And so Rajneesh, who is the writer of the book The Mustard Seed, he's also known as Osho, says this. I'm sure some of his words with you. He says, "The mustard seed is not only the smallest visible thing, it also has a mysterious quality that when it grows, it becomes the biggest of plants." And so there's a paradox. The seed is the smallest, the plant is the biggest. I don't think he'd seen redwoods. God is the invisible. So likewise, God is the invisible and the universe is the most visible. The universe is the tree, the plant, and God is the seed. You cannot see God because God is the smallest. God is like the mustard seed. But you can see the universe. And if the universe is there, the God seed must be there. And he goes on to say that this is how trust works. That in a seed, you cannot see the tree or the plant, but you can go and find suitable soil. You can go and find good soil, sow the seed in the ground, and it will become a tree. And we trust that. And faith says, "I will wait, I will pray, I will love, and I will dream. I will trust the tree inside the seed, and I will take care of it, and I know it will grow." And so walking our faith, even and most particularly in the most challenging and difficult times, is to take just the littlest bit of your faith in this divine reality and the activity of spirit, and plant it in the receptive soil of your being. You have to be suitable soil, able to receive it. But it only takes the smallest amount of the reality of God in your consciousness that you nurture, that you sow in the soil of your being and your life, that you practice, that you nurture, that you pray about, will grow. Something will happen. It's like the little bit of leaven in the bread, the same kind of teaching. The smallest bit, if it is true and faith-filled, will change things. And I love that idea of the tree that shelters all the birds of heaven. In other words, we will create something in our life that shelters all the high thoughts that we have, all the highest thoughts that we have. So God is the seed. And wherever you have a faith issue in your life, just take the time out of all the things. You've been hearing faith statements all day long, from what Reverend Patty said to the prayers that were done to what the choir has been singing. It's all faith statements. Take something that speaks the truth to you and plant it in your being today. Plant it right in the center of whatever that faith issue is. And begin to think on it and practice it and love it and nurture it and just watch what happens. Because you know what? God makes a way out of no way. God will make a way out of no way. So I invite you just to take a moment. Close your eyes. And please think about this idea that whatever we surrender to, or let's say the divine reality that we surrender to, rises as a rulership and an authority within us. And we are actually here not just to politely speak our word, but to command the revelation of God in and through and as all things on earth as it is in heaven, really knowing that this is heaven right here, right now, and we are supporting its divine revelation. And so please take a moment and just breathe into your heart center, thinking once again of any faith issue that you are in, something that you are needing to know to keep faith with your own wholeness, the wholeness of another person, the wholeness within a business or an organization, the wholeness within the world. Let us know that something that is God is working its way out in all things. And that as we plant even the tiniest bit of faith, that God makes a way out of no way, there is something that happens. And right now the tree that shelters all the birds of heaven is beginning to grow. And so I give thanks for this. I accept in the heart of each person here this suitable soil that hears what has been said today throughout this entire service and that takes a step, walking out faith in all ways, in all things, and right here, right now. So giving thanks for this, I release this word. I know it is done. And we say together, and so it is. Amen. And thank you so very much.